This podcast episode contains discussions of sexual activities and may not be suitable for all audiences. You're tuning in to a bonus episode of Slow Train to Heck. I'm your host, Josiah Mahan. Today, we're delving into a topic that many of us who have experienced religious trauma may be familiar with, purity culture. We're going to be hearing the experience of one woman in the United States and how she's created a program for helping those who have escaped purity culture heal. Now, I know what you're thinking. An American on my Canadian religious trauma podcast? It's true. And the reason is that the program we're going to be talking about is available to Canadians as well. Note that the podcast is not sponsored by the program. I just think it's a cool thing and I like Mindy's story and I wanted to share it with you. So if this sounds like something you're interested in, welcome aboard the Slow Train to Heck. Imagine a world where sex is glorified. It looms over every interaction with the opposite sex as an incredible gift your whole relationship is building to. A reflection of the bond between the divine and the church, a fulfillment of God's plan. In the context of your relationship with another person, sex is the climax. No pun intended. And yet, it's also vilified, dirty. Something that, if you even think about it outside of a very specific context, puts you at risk of offending the creator of the universe. It's not discussed publicly, and acknowledging any feelings on the subject is, well, sin. Any natural urges are cast as our sinful flesh, and something to be overcome and stamped out, suppressed, until marriage. You also need to constantly be cautious that nothing you're doing could make anyone else think about sex. Men are taught that they lack self-control when it comes to sex, so women have to have enough self-control for both of them. If a good Christian man thinks about sex because you had skin showing, that's your responsibility. These are just some of the pieces of the framework that makes up purity culture. A narrative about who we are as people, what's right, what's wrong, what's dirty, what's pure. A narrative that shapes the developing minds of countless individuals and results in traumatic ripples throughout their entire lives. But what happens when somebody leaves purity culture behind? What comes next? Meet Mindy, an American who grew up in purity culture, left it behind, and is trying to help others who've left it behind too.
I was taught that everything was woman's fault. Everything. If a woman drove, it was because she was rebelling against her husband and against God. If the husband was in the car, if the woman was in charge of finances, it was because my grandmas on either side, one drove with her husband in the car, and then another one was in charge of the finances. Oh my God, you know, like they don't know what they're doing. What are they like? They're going against God. Obviously, they're not Christian. So anything that a woman did, and we read the Bible all the time. It was a nightly thing. So being turned to salt, it was a woman. Eve, oh my God, it's a woman. You know, like all these things, it's because of women. And so I grew up feeling like everything was woman's fault and I was subservient. I did not understand consent. I got into a lot of crazy situations because I didn't understand that I had a say. I was very easily guilted into doing things that I would not have otherwise done. You know, guys saying that, you know, I gave them blue balls, so I need to follow up and give them sex or a blowjob or whatever it was. And me just going along with it because I was the temptress. Right. Most of the time we're sitting on the couch or maybe even had a meal. It was like a, you know, maybe a date, maybe not. And because I was there, I guess they felt like they had access to my body. I fell for it. You know, it was one of those things where I felt really guilty because here I'm in the ballast of not wanting to do anything sexual, but I guess I'm a temptress and I'm basically subservient to men and I should serve them, right? Like all these crazy things, feeling like I had to do these things. Like I really didn't have a choice. the thing is what I would do instead is give blowjobs, because that was an out. So I got really good at blowjobs as a byproduct. It's kind of a ha-ha funny thing for me now. And I've told that as a joke for a long time. And I realized that it was actually non-consensual. All of my friends have been raped. All of them who have grown up in purity culture, especially, but even people I've met out in the real world. And I was like, I don't know how it happened, but I never got raped. I mean, I wore my jeans instead of shirts and dresses, so I made sure not to tempt men that way, right? Show my legs and all that. And I made sure to, you know, especially in my teenage years, wore really super baggy clothes. And so that helped. And like, I had done all these things to not tempt men on, like, very intentionally, right? Also because I was grounded if I showed like a shoulder, right? Like it was absolutely nuts in my family. And so like, I had done all these things to prevent all this stuff. And I was like, it must have worked. It worked. You know, I purposely wore tennis shoes so I could run instead of like high heels or anything else, right? Like, I did all these things in prevention of being raped. And then I realized that I was all this non-consensual sex. What is non-consensual sex? It's rape.
The seeds of what would eventually become the Divorced Virgin Project were planted as Mindy began deconstructing her faith and the purity culture she was raised in, and realized the impact that these experiences had had on her and so many other women in similar situations.
I was really wanting, you know, me being 20 plus years out when I started my deconstruction process, I felt so alone and broken. It was one of those things where I really was alone. Like, I'd try to, you know, tell people my experiences and they would look at me like I was crazy because they had never heard of anything like that before. And, you know, I did a lot of trauma dumping, what now is known as trauma dumping, right? Just trying to feel heard, just trying to feel seen. I don't want that for anyone else. But what spurred this was I was trying to think of something to help the community. And actually, March of last year, I had a complete breakdown of things that I thought I healed from ages ago. It was really embarrassing because it was with my ex. You know, me being the divorced virgin, it was the ex of the divorced virgin. Like, he never got sex from me. And but it was in front of him, his mom, who I still call mom. She's amazing. His new wife, which they've been married for like 12, 15 years now. It's you know, and then their baby, right? I was like, why am I still, like, I thought I healed from this. Why am I still feeling so broken, right? Like, I decided from that there needs to be a space that we can actually move forward. I haven't been able to afford psychologists. They're $200 an hour. The one that I really liked was a cult therapist, and she specialized in like all these things. I was like, oh wow, someone really understands this. Wow, this is so incredible. But I could only afford to go to her twice. I never got the therapy I needed. I never was able to kind of talk things out with a professional. You know, what's interesting about, well, horrible and terrible and interesting about this, about our group of people, really the women affected by purity culture, is that because they're told that their worth is on their virginity before they get married, and then after they get married, they're told their worth is based on their serving their husband and making babies. And because of that, a lot of them, especially if they get out of purity culture and maybe leave their husband, but also even if they stay with their husband, a lot of times they're not in the best financial situation, honestly. Like, they don't have their own money a lot of times. So I felt like those are the people that need to be served. So the Divorced Virgin Project is something I wish I had when I first started my deconstruction process. It's all kinds of sex educators. It's all kinds of psychologists. There's, you know, doctors a part of the program. There's also a divorce coach. There's a postpartum coach. There's all kinds of different people. I have 75 plus people in the project so far. So it's pretty big. There's a lot of people, and I've seen this even in our deconstruction circles on Instagram where I'm at. And it seems like we're in our deconstruction process and they get re-traumatized and we never move the bar forward that well. We just keep going around in circles and it's hard to break free. And so what this program is about, this project is about, is helping people make those steps and move forward. And that's why I have the psychologists and I have the sex educators, even breathing for sex, right? I have someone teaching a class on breathing for sex. I have someone, the art of self-pleasure, because part of the problem is that we've been taught that pleasure is selfish and selfishness leads you straight to hell. Breaking free of that ideology is really hard and we kind of need guidance through that. And so it's really important to have those people in the project. There's even like sex toy educators and like all kinds of things. It's just well-rounded. The really cool thing about this project as well is it's not just talk therapy. You know, I mean, I mentioned the sex, you know, sex educators, but also I have healing in yoga. I have a psychedelic therapist. I have, you know, all kinds of different healing modalities. So it's not just talk therapy, because talk therapy doesn't help everyone. You know, people heal in different ways. And sometimes talk therapy, there's an end to that. You need something different. There's ways for everyone to move forward.
Minnie, the name of the project is so interesting. So I've got to ask, why did you decide to name it the Divorce Virgin Project?
So I actually was a literal divorce virgin. And I realize that now people say that virgin is a social construct and everything. And I agree, but I mean it in the classical sense. I literally did not have sex with my husband. And I titled it initially, you know, I have my main account, The Divorced Virgin, and it was really before I knew that there was a huge deconstruction community on Instagram. It just came to me one day, and it's something that I didn't really tell many people before that. It was kind of a hush-hush thing. Only my closest friends really knew that that was my story. It's really embarrassing, right? Like, you don't want to tell people. I mean, you feel like a loser. Like, you really, me anyway, I guess, is I really felt like a fucking loser. It was kind of funny with the Divorced Virgin Project. I was like, you know, I need to name the project. I still haven't come up with a name. And after like a month, I was like, I just started calling it the project. So one day it rolled off my tongue. You know, the Divorced Virgin Project. And suddenly it occurred to me, like a few times after I said that, I was like, holy fuck, that is the name of the project. So that's how it was named. Kind of naturally, really.
Purity culture has had a profound impact on the lives of many people who grew up immersed in it. Sheila Ray Gregoire, the author of many books that touch on purity culture, including She Deserves Better, posts a list of 10 components of purity culture on her website, baremarriage.com. Among those components are teachings such as physical contact at all being sinful, and that women's bodies are inherently dangerous. Focus on the Family's Brio magazine, a magazine directed towards tween and teen girls, told their young readers that their bodies were, quote, walking temptations to be used by Satan. In addition to this sense of fear and shame around their own bodies, purity culture teaches its victims that information is dangerous. BareMarriage.com cites a survey they performed stating that millennial women were less likely than previous generations to know the names for female genitalia, the definitions of consent and date rape, the mechanics of how sex works, or that female orgasms exist.
A lot of people get married almost to have sex. and purity culture. And then they both have no idea what the fuck they're doing. And a lot of them have hang-ups about sex, and women are shamed, so they don't feel like they can explore. They really don't feel like they can explore. They feel like they're there at their husband's disposal when it's, you know, supposed to be enjoyed. So through this project, I've met a lot of people who didn't enjoy sex 15, 20 years in their marriage, you know, because they didn't realize, like, maybe their arousal zones, or didn't explore each other's bodies. Maybe they were completely shamed, you know, with sex. And so they didn't explore much, right? Or maybe sex was presented as for procreation only, right? Like those kinds of belief systems got put on them. And so not enjoying sex with a partner, though, that many years wasted because of purity culture, of what purity culture taught us and hindered us. Like it really hindered our sexual beings. Another thing is, because we're so disconnected, we have become so disconnected from our bodies, disembodied, right? Purity culture disembodies us. So it takes a while to make it okay to be back in your body. It's hard to put those pieces back together without shame, hopefully, right? And guilt. And I say put back together, I mean, I'm not a psychologist, right? So using very loose language here, and I apologize if it's not all the right words. So yeah, it takes a long time to be able to feel okay in your body doing things that you were told were evil for so long. You're told, okay, so making babies is okay. Okay, check. But I can't enjoy it, right? Like, because the evils of the flesh, right? And then that's part of the disembodied. It's a mind fuck. It's really, really, really fucking hard. And you know, people, you know, men are told a lot of times in purity culture not to masturbate, right? Which is actually literally good for you. Like, so we're preventing men's good health now with these teachings. And also women, I didn't know that women could masturbate until after I was married. I was accidentally in a conversation, invited myself in a conversation, overheard some things and was like, what the fuck? And I asked my husband about later. He's like, yeah, you can masturbate. I mean, he didn't make it shameful, right? He was amazing husband. I apologize to him for things, you know, that were done and said and stuff now, but he would, because he didn't force himself on me, which a lot of women that would have happened to on your wedding night, or maybe after. Men would have guilted and shamed and until they got what they wanted, or just fucking took it because you're my wife, right? So I very much credit him for not taking it. And that is a big part of my divorced virgin story.
So if someone were to sign up for the Divorced Virgin Project, Mindy, what would be included?
Through the project, there is religious trauma psychotherapists. There's Dr. Laura. Dr. Laura Anderson's on the project. I have more religious trauma therapists. I have narcissistic abuse therapist, which really, really helped me as well. Kind of, you know, even as a social psychology major, bachelor's, it's not a big deal. There's so much understanding that I feel like I lack in why I was treated so poorly in my family unit. And so the narcissistic abuse therapist really helped too. So the healing, right? Like just different aspects. I have Olivia Grigg. She's amazing, you know, another religious trauma. And these people have actually gone through these things themselves. And that's what makes it so powerful, is both Olivia and Dr. Laura grew up in purity culture. This is not new to them. And the narcissistic therapist, she had a narcissistic mother. So it's really cool to have someone who understands. Like I was able to be like, holy shit, that's what happened. Oh my God. You know, like, oh, wow. And just all the things are clicking, right? Even though it's hard too. It's rarely talked about, I think, but it's hard for things to make sense sometimes. The thing is even if I feel the words, like I suspect certain things or I know certain things, having the validation that those things are true, oh my God, it's so incredible. And still heart-wrenching and all those feelings too, right? But being able to move forward in the validation of that instead of just suspecting or kind of knowing but not validated. And so, yeah, being able to move forward from that is a really good feeling.
That's great. What sort of people is your project targeted towards?
So it's aimed for women. Anybody can be involved and get a lot of information out of it. I'm going to have a male version as well. And there's a lot of men who will benefit from this one just as much. But I do cater to women in this particular space. But there's a lot of, like I said, good material for men. Also, it's for people who are in purity culture all around the world and all different religions even, and all different cultures and ethnicities. So, you know, high control religions, they all have one thing in common. They love to control women, you know, whether or not they call it purity culture or, you know, what it's called. It is purity culture. We're under this big umbrella, recognizing that and trying to help as many people as I can.
I love your vision for this project. It's such an important area to be working in. Now that it's officially launched, what's next for you?
I want to do a male version too, and then I want to write a book. So I've already got, you know, about 20 pages in. It's going to be powerful. I have the name of the book, which I'm not going to name because it's not trademarked, but it's a great name, and try to help as many people as I can in this community. That's the ultimate goal. It's not it's a passion project, and it's priced as that, right? It is a course, and it's $150, and that's it for 75 plus. And I'm continuing to interview more and more people. I just wanted to help people in the community and people who can't afford. Like, there's so many people who can't afford a therapist, like I mentioned. And, you know, I even have like on the trial, it's $75 a week for 2 weeks, and then they're paid for, right? And so I have it so that it's pretty much accessible for everyone. And that's, of course, completely intentional.
Thanks so much for telling us about the work you're doing in this space and the resources you're offering, Mindy. If people want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
I'm just basically on Instagram and Facebook. I've started publishing things on Facebook as well. And then I have a private Facebook group for people. And it's just for, you know, people who want to be engaged. My goal is for everybody to kind of help each other out as well in the community, and be each other's support system, and maybe even find people locally that they can be friends with and get together, you know, and all that, be in real life friends, you know. And that is the one thing, you know, we really miss in the deconstruction community, is just the weekly, you know, get togethers, right? And so trying to kind of recreate that a little bit. It's the Divorced Virgin Project with the V in the front of it, you know, so thedivorcedvirginproject.com, but also I'm on Instagram, so at the Divorced Virgin Project. And then that is basically it. Yeah, just keeping it simple. And then the Facebook page, which you can, it's basically just reposts of what's on Instagram. I have videos of, you know, short video clips of the interviews and stuff if you guys want to check it out.
Here's a few testimonials from some of the therapists involved in the Divorced Virgin Project, just to give you a sense of the expertise that Mindy is bringing into the discussion.
Hi, my name is Carrie Fillion. I am a licensed clinical social worker and trauma-sensitive yoga facilitator based in Massachusetts. I have had the honor and privilege of being part of the Divorced Virgin Project with Mindy Tyler. I am really excited about this project and everything that it is bringing to the religious harm recovery community. In the video that I am, that I have filmed with Mindy, I've had the privilege of talking about how somatic practices can help support healing and recovery from religious harm and purity culture. I have my own lived experience growing up in a harmful religious environment and have found my own way through healing. So I'm really excited that this project is going to be accessible and just filled with lots of good information for people looking for recovery from religious harm. There is a new video every week coming out through the project from licensed professionals, people who really know what they're talking about in this field. So I'm really excited to be part of it and really excited for the good work that this project is putting out into the world.
Hey, my name is Kim Honeycutt, and I'm a trauma-informed psychotherapist, and I particularly specialize in helping the narcissistic survivor and those particularly end up in addiction because of toxic families and toxic systems. And that is why I'm really on board what Mindy is doing with the Divorced Virgin Project, and that we are dealing with multiple systems that are telling us to stay disconnected from ourselves, to not take care of ourselves, and to just be influenced. And it's even beyond influence, right? Like it's being told that we aren't allowed to have any desires and listen to our fears and to not even go towards having a comprehensive sense of self. And so for so many of us who have been affected by the purity culture, who've been told inside of churches that abuse is love, and how that gets coupled and causes us to have a very dysregulated attachment style, it causes us to have a lot of attachment injuries. Because of that, the Divorce Virgin Project is vital. We cannot get better alone. We don't get wounded alone, so we can't get better alone. So whatever you're doing, whatever's happened to you, please know you are worthy of doing individual work, but in a group setting. And around people who get you and love you, and the Divorce Virgin Project is a part of that beautiful new fabric that we are designing that people get to get better. So thank you for letting me be a part of this project. We have a different therapist every week. One week, that's me. But there's really good therapists out there and speakers that are a part of this project. So please take time to check out all the resources the Divorce Virgin Project offers.
Hi, I'm Lucy Rowett. I'm a certified sex coach and sexologist, and I was also raised in purity culture in the UK in the noughties, and I'm one of the featured experts guests on the Divorce Virgin Project with Mindy, and you're really going to want to check out our chat. We talked about everything from embracing your desires, feeling safe to desire, feeling safe to fantasize, because you were told that your wants, needs, and desires were not okay, were sinful, different threat responses, the freeze response, how to move out of the freeze response, having your boundaries, and why often the foundation to sexual healing is feeling your boundaries in the first place. So many things. So you're going to want to check out the Divorce Virgin Project, enroll in it, take it. You will hopefully find it so beneficial and so healing. And I'll see you in there.
Just one last question, Mindy. Given that you grew up in purity culture, have escaped that, and now you're doing this amazing project, what is something that you would want listeners to hear? What's something that they can take away from this?
Sex is adult fun. Sex is supposed to be fun. Sex is adult playtime. In fact, when I have my, sexual partners or whatever, I'm like, hey, want to have some playtime? And that's what I call it, because that's what it is, right? We have fun. We laugh. We joke during sex. We do, don't be afraid to try new things, and things maybe be embarrassing, maybe fart during sex or whatever, but you just laugh it off, right? Period sex is not bad sex. It's actually really good sex. Don't let all the taboo stuff get to you. If you want, try things a little bit out of time, but of course, right? Like that's how I had to do it too, right? But it's a learning experience, and learning experiences aren't mistakes. There's no mistakes, right? There's only learning experiences. And so that's been an evolution of mine as well. We can go more into depth another time, perhaps. But anyway, just have fun. Just have fun. And no guilt, no shame. Just have fun.
Thanks so much for sharing your story with us, Mindy, and for your work on the Divorce Virgin Project.
Thank you so much, Josiah. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I'm super excited to be able to basically facilitate, right, this community and this project, because it's not me. I'm not the expert, right? So I bring the experts. So yeah, thank you, and we'll chat soon, I'm sure.
Like Mindy said, you can find her at Divorce Virgin Project on Instagram or The Divorce Virgin Project on Facebook, and you can check out her website at thedivorcedvirginproject.com. That's it for this bonus episode of the Slow Train to Heck. If you want to track with any upcoming bonus episodes or get more Slow Train to Heck content, you can check out the Slow Train to Heck Substack. It's slowtraintoheck.substack.com. And note that the paid subscription is completely optional. There is not and never will be any content gated behind a paid subscription. You can also follow at Instagram at slowtraintoheck, or you can send me an email if you want to chat or share your story potentially on an upcoming bonus episode. You can email me at slowtraintoheck@gmail.com. And that's all we've got. Thanks so much for listening.